Hey, everybody. Today on Charlie Kirk Show, Andy Biggs joins us for an update on the debt ceiling. Then Steve Maxwell from CCDF USA. I am a big fan and supporter of their organization. You guys have got to listen to how counties are retaking America and get involved at CCDF USA. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. There is a critical fight that is looming in Congress. In fact, it's happening right now. I'm going to read from politico.com. Senate Republicans tell the House the debt ceiling fight is on you. Basically, the Senate Republicans are doing what they do best, which is to run to the hills and do absolutely nothing. So this is on the new House of Representatives to fight, to hold the line, and to hopefully use the debt ceiling fight as a way to get and effectuate some meaningful change. Joining us now from the great state of Arizona is Andy Biggs. Andy, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Charlie, good to be with you.
So Andy, walk us through what is exactly going on with the debt ceiling fight. The Senate wants nothing to do with it, but we have the majority. And more specifically, the House Freedom Caucus has really more power than ever before. So what's the strategy? What's the game plan of this critical fight?
Okay, so for people who don't understand this, the debt ceiling hit last week, and that's an estimation that we were going to run out of money. Now, the way that happens is that came on the 19th, and then from the 19th for about till July or August, we have enough money, but we're going to take some special measures to get us through that. But before then, we're going to have to raise the debt ceiling so we don't default on our loans. So that's what it boils down to. The problem is the Democrats and some of my own Republican friends have spent us into oblivion to get there. And they believe in something called the modern monetary theory, Charlie, which means that you could just keep printing money and it won't have any effects. In other words, you can just keep borrowing money. So what we need to do is to counterbalance that. You're going to have a short-term increase in your debt in order to pay off all of your loans and your obligations. But you're going to have to reduce your spending. And the way you reduce your spending is you go through, first of all, and you find anything just like you would in a normal budget. I did it last week. I didn't realize I had so many Amazon Prime channels, Charlie. And so I went through and I just started whacking them because it's crazy.
Yep.
You have to do the same thing at a bigger level. So the first step we did is the House passed. It's not through yet, but the House passed the $80 billion elimination of the IRS agents. That's step one. So you go through and do all these things. It may be the woke drag queen program down in Ecuador that costs State Department $3.5 to $5 million. The DOD waste supposedly $100 billion a year, and they could streamline and fix that. So you go through and identify and you start whacking that stuff out to reduce spending. And why is that? Because an example is in December, Charlie, we spent $82 billion more than we brought in revenue. And we need to start reducing spending in order to balance our budget so that this generation and future generations knows that the federal government is going to be fiscally responsible and pay our debts and pay our obligations, but also reduce the size, scope, shape of government.
So how likely is it to get to some of the meatier topics? Because I agree, and I know you do, you want to get to the real meat of it. But, you know, the woke stuff, obviously, I think is important for a variety of reasons. But the real meat is in sending the money to Ukraine. It's the massive amount of waste in the civil bureaucracies, like the 87,000 IRS agents. And so what is the plan or the strategy to be able to kind of go through this. I mean, I think we should entertain a government shutdown. I think it's that important. But I don't know if the shutdown actually is part of this, right? This is a separate issue because this is about just the full faith and credit of the United States. Is that correct?
Yeah, this doesn't really ultimately lend itself to a government shutdown. What it does is it provides leverage. And Charlie, I'm a big believer that legislating involves leverage. This is a leverage point for us to reduce spending. So you're right. Last year, most people don't realize this. We sent $125 billion to Ukraine. Charlie, $125 billion to Ukraine in an undeclared war that we're not supposed to be fighting in, and it's supposed to be a proxy, and it's become a proxy war. Those are the type of things that are just outrageous. And there's so much of it there. My staff, last year, we put together a big list just on Department of Homeland Security alone. And this is where you need to go and as to start. It's the easy. It's what I call it's the low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. But, Charlie, we fight within our own party. I once had a bill to eliminate a $15, $20 million program that was everybody admitted was duplicated in two other agencies. And I couldn't even get it out of committee. I only had like four or five Republicans vote for it in committee. That's wow. What we're up against, Charlie. And that's why this is an important leverage point if we're ever going to get back on a fiscal path of sustainability.
So how do we get the Senate Republicans to not punt? I mean, here's the story. They're so worthless, so many of them. Some are great. I mean, J.D. Vance and Josh Hawley and Rand Paul and Ted Cruz are great, but there's so many of them that are just worthless. They say this, a handful of Republican senators say to the House Republicans, the fight is yours. This is Politico. Tom Tillis, what really matters is what the House can create. They're in a position. They have the gavels. We have to see what sort of strategy they think works to a successful outcome. That's just nonsense. They could work with in a partnership with you, right? I mean, come on. This is so typical. This is why people hate the Republican Party. I know you sympathize with, you know, some of this.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice? I don't know if all 49 Republican senators met with House Republicans and said, no, you're not going to get through any of us.
Yeah, no. So I just so you know, Charlie, two points on that. I kind of get where Tillis is coming from. He's just thrown up his hands and saying, basically, whatever you guys do in the House, that's where we will be and we'll fight. I hope that's what he's saying, that we'll fight for
you. You might be right. I mean, but I'm not going to go out of my way to defend Tom Tillis right now. So
yeah, but Charlie, it gets to the finer point, which is where are these guys? So the other good point is I actually will be sitting down with some senators later today about this very issue. So it's starting to, you know, there are some senators like, I mean, I J.D. Vance is going to be a breath of fresh air, I think. So, I mean, there's going to be some real push in the Senate. So if the Senate Steering Committee, which is the Republican conservatives, push on this, I think we might get have our back, but it won't matter because the House has got a hold. And Kevin, by the way, Kevin has found a backbone, has found grit, and I'm hopeful that he'll be really successful. But he is talking the talk, and I think he's going to walk the walk on this particular issue. I think he's starting to understand leverage is as leverage does. And so we can actually leverage the debt ceiling to reduce and move this way. And so with us doing that, it actually emboldens the Senate, I hope. I mean, but Charlie, you're right. I mean, look, I don't have much hair left. If I did, I'd just pull it all out. But
yeah, I mean, just like work in partnership or work in harmony or in tandem, or at least say we're not going to give them the votes to be able to break the filibuster. Is it filibuster proof debt ceiling? I can't keep track of their rules.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? But I mean, if you keep 49, you're in better shape. Let's just put it this way. If Mitch McConnell were to say the same thing that McCarthy is saying, that there has to be meaningful reductions in spending, guess what there would be? There would be meaningful reductions in spending.
Yes, exactly. I mean, by the way, the Democrats, they work in complete harmony. Schumer, when Pelosi was Speaker, they would always just say, they meet and then they have their conferences in – You read this Politico article. You got Tom Tillis over here. You got Susan Collins. You got Kevin Cramer. You got, I mean, it's a clown show. Although, I mean, everyone's saying their own thing. No one controls anybody. And I guess in some ways that's good. In other ways, it's just really frustrating because we finally have one branch of the legislative, right? We have not one branch. We have one aspect of the legislative branch. So, Andy, any closing thoughts on the debt ceiling fight? I mean, how do you see this playing out? I mean, I could see that they're already fear-mongering. CNN saying experts say that the full faith and credit of the United States. But it's the opposite. The opposite is that if you keep on raising the debt ceiling without spending concessions, then that actually will obliterate the full faith and credit of the United States.
That's exactly right. You're heading to a potential bankruptcy in the future. I mean, we're talking adding $15 trillion in national debt if we don't start reducing spending over the next 7 to 8 years. Charlie, that's unsustainable. You saw Greece collapse under an enormous national debt. And we're moving up into the same ratios of debt to GDP, gross domestic product. And when that happens, you're in trouble. And so for us, now is the time to start moving towards a balanced budget. And you do that by reducing spending and you take the low-hanging fruit and you do that immediately.
I think that spending is becoming a top political issue for people. I mean, it was really in focus for years and then out of focus. I mean, we are suffering the consequences of massive deficit spending. As you say, it's a byproduct of modern monetary theory, which is just nonsense. I want to talk about the border, Andy. The border remains completely and totally wide open. We're being invaded on basically a daily basis. Have we seen any improvement or any changes from the Biden regime since the new House has taken over? Or are we really going to have to really force the issue?
Well, we're going to have to force the issue. There's a couple of things that are happening where the Biden administration is going to claim victory. And what they're doing, instead of actually stopping illegal immigration, they're going to set up and they're working. And this has been going on for several months. They're setting up centers south of the border where people are waiting and they're going to funnel them in through ports of entry to declare there. And what they're going to do to declare asylum and try to enter that way, what they're going to do is they're going to stop or not stop. They're going to reduce to some degree the between port of entry illegal entries. So what you're going to get is instead of saying, well, you know, in Yuma, they're getting 1,000 or 1,500 people a day. They're going to funnel some of those people to the port of San Luis and say, well, look, we took it down to 600 people a day in Yuma. Aren't we wonderful? But in the meantime, everybody's going to be funneled through the ports of entry, and they're going to divert the attention that way. That's one of their schemes that they're putting in place. The other thing is that a lot of people don't realize this. They have now put up an app for illegal aliens who are coming over who can pre-register so they can get processed sooner and released into the United States sooner. And that goes part and parcel with this massive parole program that Alejandro Mayorkas has put in place, over 300,000 last year, and 30,000 up to 30,000 a month from Venezuela, Nicaragua, Haiti, and Cuba going forward. This is all being done. It's not going to change the raw numbers. You're still going to be getting 3 million illegal aliens coming into the country, most being released. What it is it's going to try to distract attention so they can change and craft a new narrative. That's what's happening on the border right now, Charlie.
And I have to say, you know, if I'm not mistaken, you are on House Oversight. Is that right? Which I'm really thrilled about. Yeah, it's a team of all stars. It's great. Do you have some plans on House Oversight to get Mayorkas in front of you guys? I know committees can be frustrating for people, but can you guys do something?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm trying to get him through in front of both judiciary and oversight. I'll be introducing soon my articles of impeachment on Mayorkas, which we keep expanding to because he's doing so many things that are what I consider to be high crimes and misdemeanors. But yeah, we need to get him in there. There's just so many scandals in this administration, from the classified documents to the weaponization of the DOJ and the FBI. So there's a lot for us to go through in those two committees. We will be working around the clock, Charlie, and I'm happy to say that because it really needs to happen.
Yeah, I mean, from Mayorkas to Cardona, the Department of Education, oversight, and you got some real good attack dogs on your committee. It's going to be it's going to be really fun to watch, and I hope subpoenas start flying because you know these people are they're out of control. Andy Biggs, thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie. Take care.
Appreciate it. 2022 is history, but have you thought about what you'll do in 2023? How will you make it better than last year? That's why I have a challenge for you. Resolve to become a better educated American. So go to charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. You could discover the beauty of the Bible in the Genesis story, study the writings of C.S. Lewis, or explore the true meaning of America in Constitution 101. There are many more to choose from, including the Winston Churchill course, the Federalist Papers course, the Western Civilization course. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com, that is charlieforhillsdale.com, and pick one of more than 30 free Hillsdale courses. I hope you'll accept my challenge. Pick whichever you like and resolve to be more educated American in 2023. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com, that is charlieforhillsdale.com. Hillsdale College is America's greatest college. And you could discover the beauty of the Bible. C.S. Lewis, dive deep into the tradition that built the West. Victor Davis Hanson has a citizenship course. Larry Arn has a Constitution 101 course and an Aristotle course. So I encourage you to check it out. charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. Local action. Local, local, local. Local light, local action. I got to tell you, this is one of the most important organizations in America. It is the County Citizens for Defending Freedom. You guys could check it out. You guys can text Texas in particular to 53445, and we'll talk about that throughout the hour. Joining us now is Steve Maxwell, founder of CCDF USA, and Jonathan Houlihan, director of legal operations for CCDF USA in Texas. Steve and Jonathan, welcome. Steve, why don't you take an opportunity to introduce the organization and what you guys are able to do and the points on the board you're putting up.
Okay, very good. Charlie, thank you for having us on today. Yeah, the organization was founded in April of 2021. And the main mission at the national level is to engage the citizens in critical counties in the country and empower them with the tools that they need to go after this apparatus that's really trying to take our country down. So at the local level, they're focused on elections, anything to do with elections, education. We have a faith division and also just follow the money. And then at the national level, we have a legal team, we have a media team, we have information services where we can really do a lot of analytics and analysis to follow where this money's going. And then we have an administration team that helps them with all the administration side of their local county operation. And since we've started, Charlie, it's been, we can only give God credit for the results we've had so far. We're just really getting going, and we're really excited about what we're talking to you about today.
And one of the counties you guys are involved in is a county in Texas, in Nueces County. Did I say that right?
Nueces County.
Nueces County, yeah. To remove a George Soros-backed district attorney. Jonathan, you're involved in this in the great state of Texas. Walk us through this effort, which is really local-focused but has national implications.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie, for having me on. It's a removal statute under not only under the Texas Constitution but under Local Government Code 87. It allows a local citizen to file a petition for removal on a county official, whether it's the district attorney, the county attorney, even a school board trustee within their county. So it goes all the way back to our Texas Constitution of 1876. It really is a citizen right that's in the Texas Constitution, but by statute. So it allows there's certain basis. If there is official misconduct or incompetence within that term of office, then a citizen can file this petition for removal. It goes to a district judge, and then whether or not they kind of view the evidence initially, if it meets kind of a minimum threshold, they issue a citation to the official. And then at that point, the county attorney, which in Texas, some counties have a county attorney, some don't, would pick up the case and essentially prosecute the case for removal. So that's what's happened in Nueces County. I think CCDF is well positioned to look all over the state of Texas to find those officials that are not living up to their constitutional oath, whether it's the United States Constitution or the Texas Constitution, to fulfill their duties. And we're going to look for those cases with misconduct or incompetence, and we're going to pursue those investigations and pursue those actions. But because, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's we the people, consent to the governed, and we take serious. I took my oath serious as a naval officer, as a Navy JAG, and I expect all government officials and public officials to take their oath equally as serious.
So tell us about Mark Gonzalez. Either Steve or Jonathan, you guys can chime in. Why is it a worthwhile effort to try to remove him?
So I'll take the first crack at this, Charlie. So I think we need to take a step back. When you look at the state of Texas, it is critical to the nation. And then when you look at what these NGOs and the George Soros Foundation organizations, the Tides Foundation specifically, they realize the weakness. And Jonathan could get into this more detail, but that county, the Texas Constitution takes the federalism concept all the way down to the county level. So when things go bad down there, the attorney general himself, you've had Dan Patrick on your show, he cannot go into that county basically without an invite. So the enemies of freedom have found that out. So they've been really launching. If you take a look at the district attorneys in Texas that are under the influence of the corrupt side of the people trying to, right? So they control the majority of the population. So they've gone after that. They've won that. And now how do you remove that? How do you change that? So this action by citizens is a way to do that, to correct that issue. If this gentleman is removed, this Mark Gonzalez is removed, the governor then gets to reappoint the district attorney.
Yeah, and so, but what specific, why are you guys going after him in particular? So, that's what I was asking. Yeah.
So with Mark Gonzalez, look, we're going to pursue the case where the case is. So there's several instances of incompetence. He's had a vast increase in dismissals, felony level dismissals. If you compare his numbers from 2021 in his current term to 2022, December 31st, 2022, to the tenure of the previous district attorney for that same 2-year period, he's up 286% for felony dismissals. His cite and release program, misdemeanors, cite and release, that obfuscates a lot of the criminal activity. They're dismissing felonies down to misdemeanors. There are several high-profile cases in Nueces County courts that have been mishandled. You've got a case, the Breonna Wood murders, where five people have been indicted for over 5 years now, and the victim wants justice. We, the people of Nueces County and the people of Texas, want to see the rule of law enforced. We expect our public officials to take their oath serious. We expect the highest ethical and moral standards, and that's all we ask. We want to live in safe streets. This is part of a larger growth of soft on crime approach that we've seen across the United States. I think this is related to the you know, what you see in Atlanta now. I mean, the soft on crime approach where no bail. All of these things are coming to a head, and I think a lot of the prosecutors are using their authority in Texas at the county level to essentially nullify the will of the Texas legislature that represents the people across the state and the governor that signs these laws into place, particularly with the abortion law that went into effect when Roe v. Wade was rescinded. And you see with the transgender care, I mean, Mark Gonzalez in particular has said on both those counts, I'm the district attorney. I have to invite in Ken Paxton, the attorney general of the state of Texas, to prosecute these cases, and I'm just not going to invite him in. Yep. So when you have that kind of mindset that I'm not, that you're not going to follow the law, duly enacted law of the state of Texas, I think it's expected that you should have a petition for removal in your county, because the citizens of the state and the citizens of your county expect you as the chief of law enforcement officer of your county to enforce the law. The soft on crime approach may work in San Francisco. Doesn't work in Texas. And I will say, look, I have their book. I bought their book to find out their mindset, because that's what you should do. And Mark Gonzalez is, and this is the Fair and Just Prosecution Organization, where They want to reimage a lot of these counties through the district attorney. And look, that's just
so Steve. So Steve, you're trying to model this out, right? You're traveling to Fulton County. This is the blueprint, which is counties, local action, find where they've infiltrated and remove them one by one by one. Now that's just one example of many things you guys do and the really important work you do. But you're going to Fulton County to try to get rid of some of these lunatics there. Tell us about that.
That's correct. And what you know, our mission is to shine light on everything and transparency. And then when we find breaches of liberty or breaches of freedom, we try to resolve them quietly. If that doesn't work, we take on the media and we take that issue and take it nationally. If that doesn't work, we turn to our legal team and say, let's go after them. So our mission really is not to, it's just to hold our elected officials accountable to the founding documents, to the state statutes, the local statutes and ordinances. They're not doing that. They're ignoring it. You see that all over the country with school boards. The state will say this, state board of education will say this, the local school board will do that. So we determined early on when we were taking a study and looking at the situation, the only resolution is the people getting involved. But when they do, they have to have more than a meeting at the school board. There has to be meat and potatoes. We have to be able to enforce the laws. Our elected officials are not doing it. So who's left to do it? Mm-hmm. We have to do it. So at the national level, we said we have to put a strong team together. So when that mom or dad is talking to that school board about an issue where they're not following the law or the ordinance, they have to have some place to turn to for help. So that's what this whole CCDEF concept is about. We want to help support and empower the citizen to take their country back. And all we have to do is hold people accountable to, in most cases, the rules and laws that are already on the books that the local folks are choosing not to follow.
I encourage everyone in our audience to check out CCDFUSA.com and get involved. And you guys can also text Texas to 53445. It's so important. You have to get involved on the local level. People ask us all the time, Charlie, what do I do? What do I do? The Republican Party is largely a waste of time. This is real action. This is real stuff. This is actually focusing on citizen engagement, on shining a light, having real action, not just this superfluous nonsense that happens far too often in our country. So Jonathan and Steve, stay right there. Again, the website is ccdfusa.com. You'll also see that we have our Turning Point USA logo on there because we're honored to be partner with you guys in many different ways. So check it out, ccdfusa.com. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. January is Sanctity of Human Life Month, and we're taking a stand and making a difference. What if I told you that you could save a baby's life for just $28? Well, it's true. Preborn is a ministry doing just that with the help of people just like you by offering free ultrasound sessions to pregnant women and girls who might otherwise choose to end their pregnancy. We know that pregnant girls and women who can see their babies on ultrasound are far more likely to choose life. Your gift today can save babies' lives. $140 can save 5 mothers a free ultrasound and save babies. $280 can save 10 babies. And just $28 a month can save a baby for less than $1 a day. And a $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or click away. There's no better time than the Sanctity of Human Life Month to save a baby. Join us. Call 833-850-BABY or go to preborn.org. Finish that thought, ccdfusa.com.
Yeah. I like to give people hope and good news as well. So there's 3,343 counties in the nation. In 143 of those counties, 50% of our population live. So we've targeted 100 strategic counties that we need to be in 10 states to make a major impact in the United States and turn the ship back to the right, correct direction. Charlie, we're not tied to a political party. I want to make that mention as well. We are just citizens. We hold people to the founding documents. We believe in this country. We believe in the precepts of this country. And we hold people to those founding documents. The other hope I want to give people, Charlie, is the good news is we don't have to change all the people. If you are a child of God, if you believe in God and believe in his sovereignty, he makes a promise in the owner's manual, I call it. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll hear and I'll heal their land. So we challenge our people, look internally, begin seeking after God. Matter of fact, Oswald Chambers has a great devotional that we promote, and we're getting all of our citizens on it, my utmost for his highest. We need our nation to begin seeking God again, and the promise is he will show up. But he expects us to do our part. So, but we don't have to be everywhere, but we do need to be in certain areas. And we're looking forward to pushing forward and getting these 10 states in place as soon as possible.
It's one of the most important projects happening in the country. I put it right up with the work our kids are doing at Turning Point USA, which is the county work. It's the grassroots work. It is the machinery. It's also thankless in some ways, because people say, oh, you know, it's nitty gritty. But no, this is the hustle that's going to win back America.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of related to what an operational cycle will be in the military, right? We have county folks on the ground. They're finding the problems. They're fixing the problems. They're looking at them from the county level, at the grassroots level. And then if there's a legal finish, there's a legal finish. And that's why it's important to have an organization with a legal department, but also has those folks in the counties that are finding those problems so we can fix them as quickly as possible. Take the Matthew 18 approach, where we try and resolve them quietly without public fanfare and hopefully get the official to back in compliance. If that doesn't work, then we bring legal involved, and we have to. Unfortunately, that's where we are today. We have to counter lawfare with lawfare. And a lot of the problems we see are the effects of lawfare and using statutes and laws to work around, the liberty of people and constitutional rights of people. So we're going to counter that every chance we get.
So, Steve, in closing here, one of the themes we've been building out this entire hour is the fourth branch of government, is these unelected bureaucrats that do whatever they want. The counties can serve as a check and balance. The counties are sovereignly created piece of infrastructure that often get overlooked, and they're municipalities that have huge amounts of influence for the trajectory of the nation. It's a unique role, isn't it? Counties are really going to determine the future of America and our beautiful republic.
That's exactly right. It's how our founders set it up. And so, and I'll give you a prime example of what you're talking about. We had one of our counties. There was a curriculum that was coming down the pike that the United Nations actually created, went through the Federal Department of Education, went through an NGO, and then tried to slip into a school board in Texas, another Texas case. And our people showed up and gathered a bunch of pastors, and they voted it down 7-0. So you're telling me a citizens group took on the United Nations, the Federal Department of Education, a private NGO-funded operation, and shut it down. That's a prime example of the local action and why it's so important.
CCDFUSA.com. Just in closing, Steve, you need help. You need support. Jonathan, you're doing a lot of work in Texas. This is national. We're going to help every way we possibly can. I've been texting you for a while, Steve. Come on the show. Come on the show. You guys have an open invite. And I know that you guys want to focus on doing the work and not always just like seeking the cameras out, but you do need the help. You need the support. And so just brick by brick, county by county, this is exactly what Soros and their Luciferian agenda has done for quite some time, where they put money into counties and they don't know. Now we have to take those counties back. It's going to start with the people. Steve and Jonathan, exactly. Thank you so much. Website one more time, ccdfusa.com. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless you, too.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.